Well, y'all sit down a little quick after the blood. We ought to give God a little praise after that. Come on, put those hands together and celebrate Jesus tonight. Come on, how many of you are thankful for the blood? Oh, come on, act like you're thankful. Come on, put those hands together. Open up your mouth and tell God thank you. If it were not for the blood, we wouldn't be here tonight. Come on, let's thank him for the blood. Let's thank him for the blood. Oh, come on, let's praise him tonight. Thank him tonight. Thank him tonight. Oh, come on and praise him tonight. I'm not done yet. Come on and praise him tonight. Give God glory in the midst of the heat. You ought to be thankful you ain't going to hell because it's so hot tonight. You ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Because of the blood, I get to go to heaven. And this heat is a temporary situation for me. Hallelujah. 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 I thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. Yeah. Yeah. My. See, when you fool around, hang out with Stephen Newby, he make you feel like you can just sing. You know what I mean? I feel like singing tonight. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. But it's a little hot, so we're going to stop that. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. I'm going to still. Did y'all see the The young lady was over here singing. She had her own Beyonce fan going on. She's sitting there, her hair was blowing. I want my own Beyonce fan. Give me. Do a little Beyonce preaching tonight. Won't nothing blow with my shirt, but that's all right. And it's really an unflattering blow because it's going to blow back on all my fat, but that's all right. I didn't see y'all. Y'all got some too, so we just work it out. Can we thank God for the worship team? Oh, man, we're just such a blessed time. I'm excited. My name is Albert Tate. I pastor at Fellowship Monrovia down in Southern California, and it is just a blessing to be back here at Mount Hermon. It is always an honor and a privilege to come back home and to open up God's Word. I got my family with me. I'm rolling deep this week. It's about eight of us. We rolling, and I got here. If I would have really known it was already going to be this many black people here, I wouldn't have brought so many with me. But I said, Lord, we are all-time high this week. I love it. I get here, people was like, are they with you? I was like, no, they not with me. They came on their own. So we don't all know each other, just letting y'all know, but I got eight of them with me, though. We rolling deep this week, so we ought to take a brochure picture this week. I'm just telling you, just a heads up to the marketing department. It's a good week. Pull out the cameras, y'all know. Come on now, y'all know y'all see them brochures. It always have one person of color in that, eh? In the same picture, all of them the same. That's Jimmy in every picture on the... Oh, Jimmy do everything at the place, don't he? So while y'all got some extras, y'all take some pictures this week. We up in here this week. We up in here. It's power in the blood. So let me just go ahead and tell you, service is going to be a little long this week. Going to be a little long. They're already a little hot, which is, you know, true to African-American tradition. I'm already sweating, so. But I love to have my family to stand. So I got my beautiful wife, LaRosa. Stand up, baby. Let me see how fine you are. Lord, have mercy. I could speak in tongues right now, boy. That was just a blessing. She's the sugar in my Kool-Aid, y'all. She's activating my Jerry Curl, boy. I tell you the truth. Boy, you make a brother. All right, let me move on if I can get in the back of the spirit. My cousin Alexis, who's spending the summer with us from Jackson, Mississippi. Would y'all welcome her? And our dear friend Randa, who lives with us and helps us take care of our kids, is Randa. And my sister Dilwani, who moved from Mississippi to California 2 years ago, she's here with us as well. All other black people, I don't know where they came from, child. These are accounted for. I know who they are. No. Now, it is an absolute blessing to be here, and I'm excited tonight. I'll just go ahead and confess early on. Usually I don't do this, but I am struggling tonight. I've wrestled with where to go and what to do. I'm going to unfamiliar territory. So if it's not good, you can just say, well, he said he was struggling. That's why I told you. But if it's good, we can all say, thank you, Jesus, you met us in spite of. Amen? I just really wrestle with, as we start this week at Mount Hermon, how many of you, you've been here before? You've been here before. Yeah, that's what I thought. How many of you, this is your first time? This is your first time? Amen. And all the black people. Okay. All right. Welcome, y'all. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing. Woo. They're probably going to have a meeting with me after that. Albert, we need to talk to you concerning your intro. But the Lord's burned a passage on my heart, and I usually passages that I hadn't spent a lot of time in or preached several times before, I usually don't do when I'm traveling. But the Lord's calling me to speak on this passage, so I just want to invite you to pray with me tonight, and we're just gonna see what the Lord does. Is that all right? The Book of Exodus, chapter 3. Book of Exodus, chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, meet me there. Your Bible apps, you can open them there. Book of Exodus, chapter 3. I'll begin reading at verse 1. Hear these words of our Father. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up. Verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Let's pray together, friends. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your blood. Now, Father, as we've gathered together, we pray that you and you alone would speak, Father. Would you tune our ears to your voice so that we might hear you ever so clearly? God, would you turn our hearts toward you so that we might experience the fullness of all that you have for us on tonight? God, it's to that end that I ask that you stand in my body, think through my mind, speak through my vocal cords, those things you'd have us say, know, and do. Father, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, you are my strength. You are my redeemer. Have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. We find Moses in a very interesting season of his life. If you know the story of Moses, if you studied him biblically, or if you just saw the movie Prince of Egypt, you know that Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house, but he was a Hebrew. And as he came into his own identity, he saw an Egyptian harassing a Hebrew slave. And he went over and interjected himself, killed the Egyptian, hid him away. The next day, he goes down and sees two Hebrews fighting. He then goes and says, why are you fighting your brother? And then they say to him, what are you going to do, Moses? You going to kill me like you killed the Egyptian yesterday? Knowing that he was outed, he now feared for his life. Pharaoh heard of his murdering of one of his soldiers, so Pharaoh put a warrant out to kill him, so he fled. He ran away. You want to talk about your life falling to pieces. You want to talk about your whole world falling apart. And in one day, everything changes. There are times and there are seasons where you will hit in one day, things just change. Something can happen significant, sometimes catastrophic, sometimes very tragic, and your world changes. Moses, his world changes, but we find him in our text kind of after he's gotten back on his feet. He's gotten his legs back up under him. He's now met this amazing woman. He's now married, and he's now working for his father-in-law, Jethro, and he's taking care of the herds, and he's kind of got a job. He's kind of got an identity. He's kind of got a rhythm to his life. The pieces that have fallen apart, they've kind of now come back together, and he's got a stride. He's kind of got his rhythm. He's got himself together, and he's moving, and it says that he's taking the herds, and he's going over on the far side of the wilderness, and he's just doing his job. He's got a new identity, gone through some stuff in his past, got himself together, doing his job. And in the midst of doing his job, this bush catches on fire. Well, I thought that was a big deal until I moved to California and find out, you know, stuff just catch on fire out here. In Mississippi, that just didn't happen. But out here, a bush can just, I'm on fire now, y'all. I'm on fire. I'm burning up. So that used to be a miracle to me growing up, but I realize now that ain't a big deal. That happens every summer in certain parts of the world. But what is interesting, not that it caught on fire, but that it didn't burn up. It wasn't consumed. So Moses is now looking at this bush, and it catches on fire, and it doesn't burn up. It's just consumed. It's just sitting, and it's not burning up. It's just sitting. And then it starts talking. Well, now, folks, we've got a problem. Usually bushes don't talk unless you were once previously smoking a bush. And then it may be talking, but this theologically we ain't seen before. This is a whole other thing. God speaks to Moses through the bush. He stops Moses in his tracks. He stops him from his work, and he calls him away to the burning bush. I'll just go ahead and make my point early tonight. I feel like Moses, many of us, we've got our rhythm, we're doing our thing. And what would it mean for God to stop us and for us to look at this week as an opportunity for us to stop? To stop. It's something that we don't do well. It's something that it's one of those spiritual things that we just keep rolling on. It's kind of like my friend Ed Barron talks about it. He talks about the California stop. And it's not really a stop. It's really a rolling stop. You know how when you come to a stop sign, y'all know it, y'all seen it, half of y'all probably did it coming up here. You don't really stop, you just kind of slow down, you looking, you easing, ain't nobody around, so you keep on going, you know what I mean? And you think, you know, that was a stop sign. Then your wife, you know, interjects with her divine ability to drive out of the passenger seat, you know. I think it's a spiritual gift. My wife got a double portion of an anointing to drive from the passenger seat. I was like, you need to go get a license and teach a class. Like, you know how to, you are gifted. Like, you got a gift. Yeah, anybody, my wife is the only one that's got that gift. Nobody else has that gift in the room, although I can see some of your faces. Don't raise your hand. You might be on the couch tonight. My wife, like we were traveling the other day, I tell you, the spirit just moved through her often. We was driving the other day, and she's in the passenger seat, I'm in the driver's seat. She just said it. She said, ain't that the turning lane? And y'all, before I could catch my mouth, I said, ain't that the driver's, ain't that the passenger seat? And then when I got home, she was like, ain't that the couch? I was like, touche, my dear, touche. I'm gonna take a bath or something? What's this? No, you're right. I'm going to use all of this. I think, I don't know what I was talking about now. It's just, the couch. You remember that. You resonated with that in your spirit, huh? It's like, I know that feeling. I feel that A lot of times we do the driving on the other side. This idea of the roll stop. It's the idea of coming to the stop sign but not really stopping. You just kind of keep rolling. Unless a police officer's there. Police officer there, although your wife done told you 20 times, won't you stop at the stop sign? You're like, nah, I'm stopping. I looked, I stopped. That police, you see that police officer, you stop. And you drive, you take all kinds of precautions, and you take all kinds of precautions because somebody else is looking. It's amazing to me how we spiritually, in our life, we never really stop and pause, and we assume that God isn't looking. We assume that he's not paying attention. God has given us an opportunity this week to pull over to the side of the road from the regular grind of life to stop. Some of us, we need to stop on many levels. Some of us, we just need to stop and open up our hearts and see what God wants to say to us. Some of us, we need to stop behavior. Some of us, we need to just stop and pause and be. You have been roll stopping for a long time now, and you need to know that when you roll stop, you literally miss opportunities. You miss opportunities that God has. Have you ever been a pedestrian and somebody roll stop? And the way they come to the stop sign, you get ready to walk, but you can look at them and tell they ain't interested at stopping at all. Like, stopping hadn't even crossed their mind. They think it's a yield sign. So you standing over, you's about to walk out, you can tell they ain't even looking at me. They listening to Beyonce. They ain't even looked over to turn around. They roll stop. It's like you're not even going to walk out because you see that they have no intention of stopping. I don't know. But what if there are blessings standing as pedestrians that are just waiting on you to stop, but knowing that in your heart you have no anticipation, you have no intentionality about stopping. It's just waiting on you. It refuses to walk out and run the risk of you rolling right past it. I guess I want to invite you. There is a blessing. There is a peace, there is a presence of the living God that comes when you stop and pause and inquire of what the Lord may have for you. Moses could have got, I'm sorry, a burning bush starts talking to me, he could allow fear to overtake him and just run the other way. Burning bush started talking, you could be like, nah, he could have kept working. Don't run the risk of, don't keep working. Stop and inquire, Lord, what is it that you want to say and do this week? What does it mean for you to stop? I love it. He goes and he inquires, and then the Lord says to Moses, take your shoes off. Take your sandals off because you're standing on holy ground. Take off the thing that's between me and you. Take off the shoes. Take off the thing that's keeping you from experience. Take off your shoes so that you might stand in my presence. You might stand on the holy ground that I prepared. Take off your shoes. Take off the thing that's getting in the way. What would it mean for you to come here this week? Stop. You've already physically stopped. Your schedule stopped. What does it mean for you to say, mind, stop. Internet pursuit, stop. Let me focus in on what God is going to do and what God is going to say this week. And I'm telling you, the first thing he has for you to do is the same thing that he had for Moses to do. Take off your shoes. Take off the thing that's in your way that's keeping you from experiencing the fullness of God's presence for you in this holy moment. He is calling you to a holy moment. The question is, what are the things that you need to take off that will run the risk of getting in the way of you experiencing the fullness of all that God has for you this week? Take off your shoes. What are the things that need to be removed?
What are the things that need to be surrendered? What are the things that need to be offered up to God? What are the things that you've been avoiding? What are the things that have been gnawing away at your spiritual health? What are the anxieties that you're carrying? Some of us, we load it up with baggage, not just your luggage in your trunk, but you're carrying the burdens and the boulders of the world, of family, of anxiety, of business, of home. What are those things that you need to take off and say, I am standing on holy ground? The Spirit of the living God has come to meet me, and let me get rid of the stuff that'll keep me from experiencing the fullness of all that He has for me. My Father wants to meet me, and I don't need to let the luggage and the baggage get in the way of me experiencing His love. What do you need to take off? Some of you are sitting in here right now and you feel like you're carrying an extra 100 pounds because you came wearing burdens. What are the burdens that you need to take off so that God might be present, so that you might experience the holy ground that He's prepared for you? There is God. God has called us and blessed us to come into this sacred space. Now, the problem with sacred space is this. The problem with being here at Mount Hermon, problem with the fact that we've been here before, is it can become so familiar. This moment, this space, this season, this time, this opportunity can become so familiar, honestly, friends, that we run the risk of missing it. I grew up in Pearl, Mississippi, and we lived, I don't know, maybe 3-4 minutes away from the airport. So growing up, it was common to hear 747s flying overhead. It was common. It wasn't a big deal to all of a sudden hear a rumbling plane. Sounds like it's pulling up in our backyard. Like, literally, it's right there overhead. It was nothing to us. But I never forget it, when people will come and visit us for the first time, the look on their face, all of a sudden they hear, and they're looking, and we're just talking, we're just going on, we're going, and they are looking like, what is wrong with you people? Don't you feel the house shaking? What is that? We're like, oh, that's the plane. It was like, you didn't hear it? We don't even hear it no more. We've been here for 20 years, child. I ain't even hear that plane. It's amazing, as loud as a 747 is rumbling overhead, how familiar you can get with it, how quickly you can accommodate for the sounds and overcompensate and just not even pay attention to the rumbling that's overhead. Friends, you can come to Mount Hermon, know the layout, get comfortable, get excited about the fountain and all the stuff that happens, and miss the power of the Holy Spirit, the rumbling of the 747, the presence of God that desperately desires to shake you, to stir you. You can get so comfortable that you don't even notice it flying overhead. You can come to this place and just say, it's Monday, what's the schedule, and get in here, and you can just start doing business as usual, or you can get in here and allow God to do His business in your life. Don't come to this place and become so familiar with the patterns and the programs that you miss this great opportunity to rest before an almighty God. Take off your burdens. Take off your shoes. Remove the thing that'll get in your way. And then tune your ear to His voice so that He might speak to you. Moses would go on. We know what happens. He leads the children of Israel out of Egypt. God commissions him. God speaks to him. God empowers him through His Holy Spirit. He gets in his mouth and he speaks on his behalf, and his story becomes this great legacy. But it all happened because he stopped, because he took his shoes off, and because he listened. We pull the burning bush out of the story. We miss it. He missed the calling. He missed the opportunity. And I am telling you, you can miss the burning bush moment because you're so busy. You're so consumed with your burdens, and your life is so loud that you can't hear Him speaking. You can't hear Him speaking. Your life is so loud Your life is so loud. Some of you, you are here and we're having quiet time and we're at this beautiful camp. We're in this beautiful place. But the volume of your life is so loud, you can't even hear the voice of God. It's not that God isn't speaking. It's that your life is so loud, you can't hear him. The volume of the job is so loud. The volume of the children is so loud. The volume of the pornography addiction is so loud. The volume of the tension in the marriage is so loud. You can't even enjoy the worship because you're thinking, you're sitting right here in a worship service already thinking about the emails as the numbers collecting with you being. You're thinking, can I get in the office and knock some down tonight before the service is over? Because your life is so loud. Jesus Christ is saying, I want to speak to you, but I'm not rude. I'm a gentleman. I want to speak to you, and I'll speak in a whisper. So what does it mean for us to come into this place, stop, remove our burdens, surrender our burdens, and then begin to turn the volume of our life down? Shh. Bring the volume of the anxiety of the marriage. Shh. Turn it down. The struggle with the finances. Shh. Turn it down. All the to-do lists that are mounting when I get back home. Shh, turn it down. What would it mean for me to turn my life down so that the voice of the living God might speak to me concerning me? He wants to speak to you concerning you. You've been trying to figure out how we're going to work out the marriage. How are we going to work out the difficulty? How are we going to get over this? How are we going to get? Some of you, this is one stop before divorce court. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ can do what a divorce lawyer could never do. He could bring healing and wholeness to your marriage. You just got to turn your drama down so the drama, the narrative of Jesus Christ might be turned up. So where are the areas where you just need to stop? Some of you, you're trying to fix stuff. You're trying to work stuff out. You're trying to do stuff in your own power. What does it mean for you just to stop? I mean, you're trying to figure out things. You're trying to plan. And all that's good. But for this week, for this moment, for this sacred space, what does it mean for you just to stop? And begin to take off your shoes. That's what I want to do tonight. I want us to take off our shoes. I want us to begin to take off the stuff, the weighty things that get in the way of us connecting with our Heavenly Father. What are the things that you need to take off tonight? And what are the areas where the volume is so loud? Oh, the volume is so loud that it'll be a struggle to hear. Because you know if you can't hear, then you can't see. Y'all know that, don't you? Hadn't you noticed sometimes when you're in the car, especially if you're trying to parallel park or something, and the music is all loud, and the kids just playing around, and he's like, you're like, we all turn the radio down so I can see where I'm going. I don't make know what you mean. Turn it down so you can see where you're going. But it's true, though, isn't it? It's something about turning the volume down. You can see clearly. I'm telling you, if you just turn the volume down, God will begin to speak and you'll begin to hear and you'll begin to see clearly that your Father has been with you all the time. Your Father desires to speak to you. Your Father desires to meet you. Your Father desires to give you clear vision, purpose, promises. He has not left you. You are not alone. Some of you, that's the lie that you need to lay down. That's the shoe that you need to pull off. This lie that you're alone, that you are left, you are isolated. You are not alone. God has a purpose. God has a plan for your life. He wants to use you. Moses probably thought he was alone, thought he was by himself. Jesse had mustered himself and got himself back together. Now in Midian, got a job, got a wife, just kind of got himself together on his own feet. And God said, that's the problem. You got yourself together on your own feet to do your mission. I need you to take those shoes off so that I can commission your feet to do what I've called you to do. Some of you, you done got yourself together. You done got yourself a little mission. That's cute. take it off. Lay it all down. You can't tell me. Moses is like, I just committed murder. I just got myself together. I got a job. I got a family. I got a wife. I've got myself together. And Jesus says, I want to mess it up. Take it all off. Take it all off. See, some of us, let me get back up here with my Beyonce fan. Some of us, the problem ain't our failure. Some of us, the problem is our success, our recovery rate. We've done so well for ourselves. We've recovered so well. The kids are just now getting to a place where they're independent, they're doing their own thing. We got financial stability. We got all this stuff, and everything's going well. Now ain't the time for a Bush to start talking to me. I'm about to retire. Bush, go talk to somebody. Go get that young guy over there, that young unsafe. Go find some people at Bayside where they like being not safe. I like safety. Safety's a good thing for me. I like police officers, firefighters, Marines. I like all things safety. I like all things. So go talk to them. Don't talk to me. Some of you, the shoes you need to take off is your success. It's your comfort. Some of us got on rough shoes that we be like, yeah, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, take these off. Take these. My coins hurt anyway. Take these off. Some of us got Ferragamos. Which is a very nice shoe, for those who don't know. Some of you got some real comfortable shoes on. Plus shoes. As a matter of fact, your shoes ain't never been this comfortable. This is the most comfortable season. As a matter of fact, you was just bragging the other day. You know, everything is just comfortable. I'm just good. And God said, that's what I want. Take the shoes off. Take them off. And this is why you can take them off without fear, without worry, without anxiety. Because your God is good. Your God is faithful. And he has a plan and purpose for your life that's so much better than anything you could muster up. So much better than anything you can piece together on your own. Moses had pieced together a pretty good life. Got a wife, got a baby, got a father-in-law that's got him a job. He's working, got himself together. He's gone from being a murderer, runaway, to now having a family, having a nice little nest egg, had it all together, everything that everyone could want. And God said, take it off. I've got a bigger purpose for your life. I've got something amazing that I want to do, and it's beyond your comfort. It's about my calling. It's not about your comfort. It's about God's calling for your life. But you'll never get there if you don't stop. You'll never get there if you don't take off what you've built up. And you'll never get there if you don't turn the volume of your life down. So that you might hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say to you. So tonight I want to invite you into this parenthesis, into this sacred space, into this sacred moment. And in this moment, I want to invite you to take them off, to identify it. What are the things that you need to take off this week so that you might experience the holy ground and this holy moment that God has for you? I'm telling you, he wants to speak to you. The question is, are you willing to take the things and remove the things off out of the way so that he might speak? Everyone all over the room, all over the back out there, let's take a few moments. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? In this moment, answer the question. What do you need to take off? What do you need to take off? In a few moments, in response to this message tonight, I'm going to invite you to do something. Normally, we wouldn't start this way, but we're going to let God set the agenda this week. For those of you that are For those of you that are hearing from the Lord tonight, and you're starting to see the things that need to be taken off. You know, one of the biggest lies that Satan will whisper in this moment is that you're by yourself. You're the only one carrying these kinds of burdens. And the threat of isolation keeps you in a place of secrecy and hiding. I love to call that out on Monday night. Let's go ahead and identify that as a lie. And let's begin to walk in the truth. I love to expose Satan for the liar that he is tonight. Here's how I want to do it. In a few moments, before I pray, I want to give you an opportunity to respond tonight. As you identify what it is, just two words or three words or four words or a sentence, those of you that are willing to declare it, outside and on the front, we're just going to have you shout it out what that thing is that you need to take off this week. Thing that we're taking off this week. I'm taking off, and then whatever it is, we're just going to have you shout it out. And what will happen is this idea of hiding, this idea of secrecy, this threat of this isolation. Every time you shout something out, you free someone else up to give them the strength to remove and call out the thing that's struggling in their life. So let's create a holy moment right now of transparency and vulnerability as we expose the lies that run the risk of keeping us bound and missing what the burning bush would have to say to us this week. Maybe that's why it's so hot, because the bush is burning. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe tonight he can speak through this heat. Father, I pray that in these next few moments that your spirit would move, that you would lead and that you would guide us, that you would have your way. Pray that the spirit of vulnerability, transparency, power and deliverance would move in this moment. We are standing on holy ground. There are angels all around. So let's praise you now, for we are standing in your presence on holy ground. Move by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. When you're ready, we'll start from the back. If you would just stand, and when I acknowledge you, would you just shout out the thing that you are taking off? When you're ready, just stand. Just start in the back, and then when you're ready, just shout it out. And when I acknowledge you, and we'll come all the way down, and then we'll close with the time of worship. But when you're ready, just stand. This week, God has pulled us away. We've been given the gift of stopping. What would it mean for you and your spouse, you and your family, or just you who are here by yourself? What would it mean for you to intentionally hit the brakes this week? Come to a complete stop because someone is looking. To see what God might have to bring before you. Removing your shoes, removing the burdens, removing the things that'll get in the way. Our prayer this week is simple. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Our prayer is simple. Speak, O Lord. Your children have gathered to listen. Speak, Lord. Father, that's our prayer. That's our hope, that you would speak to us, Father. We have gathered. I pray that by your grace we stop, remove the burdens, turn the volume of our life down, so that you, O Lord, might speak. Speak, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.